D-Mace, Finnegan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Elliot Friedman, Sportsnet NHL insider, is also with us on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Elliot Friedman, also presented by Old National Bank. Get old. Elliot, how much do Canadians pay attention to the NCAA tournament?
You know what? We do. I used to cover NCAA basketball, a lot of it. As a matter of fact, when I was in high school, and even before, I used to tape the entire NCAA tournament that was available to us in Canada, and I kind of rewatch it in the summer. But I stopped doing that. You know, when the NBA came to Toronto, it kind of ruined it for me because, one, I didn't have as much time to watch it, and two, the NBA game was so much faster, right? Like, the NCAA game was slow to me. But people still fill out brackets. I still have people periodically who say to me, who should I pick in the bracket? Because they remember I broke in covering basketball. But I won't tell them because I don't want anyone betting on anything I say because I just don't watch it close enough. But we watch it up here. We like it.
So, Elliot, the GM meetings, are they still ongoing or are they done?
They're done. They ended yesterday.
Okay.
I'm back at home.
So the GM meeting. All right. Oh, yes. Instead of beautiful Florida. The GM meetings are over, and the playoff format is a hot topic of conversation in the NHL. Gary Bettman is dug in on this playoff format as we know it right now, but there seems to be a lot of support for a change. Is there anything in your mind that can convince Gary Bettman to perhaps reconsider the playoff format as we've known it for the past several years?
Well, the one thing, Adam, is I know he's against expanded playoffs. That he's dead set against. I've had this argument with him before. He does not like the idea of adding in more teams. And I'm against him on that. I think they should, but he's a no. Where I wonder if there's some leeway, because I do think in the CBA negotiating, the players will at least bring it up, is can you change the seeding in the conferences? As in, instead of having it the way it is, can you go Western Conference, where Nashville is, 1 versus 8, 2-7, 3-6, and 4-5, et cetera? That's where I wonder if there's a bit of leeway. Like, I got a text yesterday from a player going into yesterday's games. Dallas was number 3 in the league, and Colorado was number 6. And in the West, Dallas was number 2, and Colorado was number 4. And he said, like, why should these teams be playing in the first round? He said, that's a Stanley Cup final. If you can make it so that they don't play in the first round, shouldn't we be doing that? So at the very least, Adam, I can see a situation where the players say, how do you feel about going 1-8 in each conference instead of what we have now? But expanding the playoffs, I disagree with Bettman on this, but he's got 50 billion votes, and he is dead set against it.
So, Elliot, the Toronto Maple Leafs will be in town here in Nashville on Saturday. Give us a state of the Toronto Maple Leafs as they arrive in Nashville later this week.
All you need to know, Adam, is that a week ago they lost to Florida at home, and my Leaf-loving buddies were like, that's it. We can't win a division. We're doomed to play Tampa in the first round. We're dead. And a couple wins later, my those same friends are like, we're back. We can win the division. We're 2 points back with a game in hand. We've got this. So as you can see, all is normal in Toronto.
Yes, always.
Elliot, another team that is in the midst of a run here is the St. Louis Blues, and we just saw them here.
Yeah.
And the Predators play them again on Sunday in St. Louis, and then back here again next week. So three matchups in 10 days. Yeah. And I heard you on your podcast talking about the Blues and their momentum, and they've got a softer portion of the schedule. So first, give me your thoughts on how St. Louis has gotten it together, and then I've got a follow-up on the Predators part of this.
Well, I mean, but the thing with St. Louis is, like in 2019, Doug Armstrong was so annoyed at his team, he sent out a memo saying, I'm willing to trade just about anybody, and Binnington got hot and they won the Stanley Cup. Like, he should do this every year. He threatened to do it again this year, kind of, and Binnington's gotten hot and they're winning again. I think, number one, I just think as a group, they've played a lot better. The underlying numbers, since Jim Montgomery took over as head coach, the underlying numbers are very good for them. If you take a look at kind of how, I don't know if it's exactly expected goals or chances. I can't remember which one it is. But since Montgomery has taken over, their statistical numbers in terms of the way they defended are among the best in the league. And so that obviously is a major reason why they've gotten better. I do think that, you know, one of the things I heard was that with Braden Schenn, when it was rumored that he might be traded, and, you know, Toronto talked about it and some other, Ottawa talked about it, I heard the players there were really galvanized by that. Like, you're not leaving, are you? So I think that between the way that Montgomery's got them playing and just a little bit of a kick in the butt, I think it's worked very well for them, Willie.
I talked to Hal Gill the other night about the Predators being finding ways to motivate themselves and playing the, quote, spoiler, right? They've got two more with St. Louis. They've got a couple with Utah, who's on the bubble. They've got a game in Columbus coming up. These are all games where you might play the card to try to make sure your team's playing their best to say, hey, you can spoil this guy's season. Hal did not like that at all. He said for him, it was just about playing well. It was not about getting extra motivation for a team that's out of it to play the spoiler. What kind of feedback do you get from the players you talk to about that?
Well, you know what? To me, I think it's about pride. It's, you know, you're getting paid. Fans are buying money. Like, you know, fans are paying their hard-earned money to come to your games. You should, as a professional, you should put up a great performance, or the best performance. You're not always going to be great, but the best performance you can. Like, Willie, like, you know, we all know what it's like. Well, it's never happened to me, but you go on radio and you have a bad show. You know if you have a bad show. And the next day you're like, people are listening to me. They've given me their time. I better do a better job. Like, I look at it the same way for hockey players who won't make the playoffs. Somewhere, somehow, that's one thing I always loved about Michael Jordan, is that I remember him saying once that there's somewhere tonight, there's a fan in this stadium that spent their money to watch me play, and I better deliver. And whether you were like the 70-win Bulls or you're the Predators this year who won't make the playoffs, I think you have that responsibility. And the other thing, too, is, yeah, like I remember years ago, when Tampa Bay was not very good, they were having a really rough year, and they were playing Florida, which was trying to make the playoffs. John Tortorella was coaching the Lightning, and he didn't care that the Lightning weren't very good. He wanted to beat Florida. He wanted to ruin their season. He looked at it as a source of pride that he could potentially ruin their season. And I think that to me it's a big thing. Like, you should look at it like that. And I hope the Predators do. Like, why not try to ruin somebody else's season? I would be all over that if I was a player.
Elliot, I saw a report, and I can't remember, forgive me for who put it out there, but it was a study of the number of penalties that have been called compared to in previous years, and it's quite a bit down.
Yes.
The power play opportunities are down.
Jason Gregor. Jason Greger was the reporter who
covered. I found that very interesting anecdotally watching the Predators here, because they've been looking at this and saying they feel like there's been some games where they should have called more penalties. They're not getting as many opportunities as they feel like they should have. I'm sure all 32 teams probably feel this way a lot of the times. But in talking to some people about different theories as to why it's down, one thing that came up that I thought was intriguing, a little outside the box, it seems like there's a lot more young officials who are a little more inexperienced getting at the games, and maybe they are deferring a little bit, and maybe, I think the word came up, scared maybe to call too many penalties. But give me your theory as to why you think the number of penalties have gone down, the power play opportunities.
Well, it's interesting you say that, Will. You're the first guy to say that one to me.
And this is not coming from me. This is coming from people that I've talked to as theories, without any evidence.
I am going to put in my blog today that Willie Donick said the referees are scared to make penalty calls. And watch Nashville not get a power play the rest of the season.
Well, one thing that I think we can agree on, I don't know how this works, Elliot, but it seems like when you're out of the mix, and let's say it's a game like tonight where you've got two teams that are out of it, I don't know if you tend to get more inexperienced referees in that game. Is that fair to say?
I could see that. You know what, Willie? I could see that's fair. Yeah, I can see that. I mean, Utah's not out of it yet. This is a huge game for them. You got
Anaheim tonight. Yeah.
Excuse me. Yeah. I see what you mean. Yeah, you know what? I see that. You know, it's an interesting theory. It's an interesting theory. Like, I saw that Jason Greger wrote it this week, and I was kind of like, and I didn't realize it. I hadn't seen it. You know, I'll say this, like, I was kind of like, I better start looking at it a little bit more. You know, every night I look at it and I say, there are penalties I think they miss. I think that's normal to look at it and say, you know what, there should have been a penalty call here, there should have been a penalty call there. But I don't know that I've looked at games and say, there's 5 or 10 missed calls. You know, and I always think there's always penalties they call, and I'm like, are you serious? You haven't called much all night, and that's the one you call? So sometimes I do have those moments too. I'm still formulating my thoughts on this one, Willie, but you know what? It is interesting that you said that. I think it is an interesting theory. Like, I was just at the GM meetings, as Adam mentioned, and there are three officials there who were there, who were longtime officials, Don Van Massenhoven, Dan O'Halloran, and Rob Schick. And those were longtime referees, and they weren't afraid of anything. And you know what? I could see something along those lines where maybe some of the referees are a bit too deferential. It's possible, but I wouldn't say that I would agree with that 100% yet. I have to say, I'm still wrapping my head around this and why it's happening.
All right, I got one more for you because I know you follow these things closely. There was a situation in the game against the Blues where early in the second period, Michael McCarron hits a guy up high, Busnevich, and it was the right call.
He got ejected, right?
He got ejected, and they called the 5 minute. They reviewed it, and they determined yes, this is worthy of a game misconduct. And I thought it was the right call. It was unfortunate because I think McCarron saw a guy that had the puck and suddenly he didn't have the puck, got him up high, no question about it. Later in the game, there's a very similar action where Luke Evangelista got elbowed in the jaw and went down, and they called illegal check to the head and didn't review it. It looked like the same exact type of situation where, again, you have the tool to go look at it. And if you determine it's only 2 minutes, sure, no problem. But they didn't review it. That's why I wonder what the discussions are like on when to use that.
The only thing I can think of in that particular case, and again, I didn't see it, and I'll go look at it maybe for next week and see if I change my answer, is the only thing I would think in that particular case, Willie, is that in the McCarron play, because, as you said, it was the puck was involved, I bet you they wanted to look at it and make sure it wasn't like in that situation, they're probably looking at it and making sure, was it late? Maybe they were trying to make certain there was no other body contact first. Like, I didn't see it. But what it says to me, Willie, is in that case, they were more sure about the Evangelista call and what it should have been, as opposed to the McCarron call and what it should have been. Now, maybe they were right or wrong in that determination, but when they don't review it, it says to me they're sure of what they saw.
Elliot Freeman, Sportsnet NHL Insider, presented by Old National Bank. Get old here on D-Mace Vingan and Donick. Elliot, great stuff as always, and we will talk to you next week.
Have you filled out the brackets, Elliot? Do you have a winner?
No, you know what? I didn't this year. I probably would have picked Auburn, but I didn't this year. I know that'll get me killed in Tennessee. I wanted to tell you guys that I have to save it for the pod, but Barry Trotz came up to me at the GM meetings and asked me a trivia question that not only stumped me, but had me unable to focus on my life for almost 15 hours.
Okay, well, there is a great teaser for the next edition of the 32 Thoughts podcast. Elliot, thank you so much. We'll chat next week.
All right, guys. Take care.
Elliot Freeman on the program. Now, I can't wait to hear what that trivia question is. The 32 Thoughts podcast, the second episode of the week, usually drops on Fridays, if I'm not mistaken. So look for that wherever you find your podcast. One quick score update. Creighton 83, Louisville 71 with 1:12 left in the second half. So it appears that Creighton is in position to win this game. And
there's
if they
still,
do
a chance,
advance,
still a chance. Still a chance.
Yes, it's not over till it's over.
Yeah.
If Creighton advances, they will take on presumably Auburn in the second round. Auburn taking on Alabama State in a 1-16 matchup. Speaking of Barry Trotz, however, I was reading something on The Athletic about the Predators the other day. And when I read this about the Predators and Barry Trotz, it kind of stopped me in my tracks. And we'll discuss that next. 615-737-1025, live out at Boombaz in Murfreesboro. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063, the game.